529 supporters of ousted President Mohamed Morsi have been sentenced to death by an Egyptian criminal court. The UN has condemned the verdicts as a breach of international human rights law. The military-backed government is cracking down on protests against the unprecedented trials, while a growing number of political groups and parties are planning mass demonstrations. Is Egypt headed to more instability? Can the revolution still be salvaged? I'm Homa Lizki, and you're watching The Debate.
Around 700 supporters of Egypt's ousted president Mohamed Morsi have appeared in a court in Minya on charges of murder, inciting violence and sabotage. The court session was held as only a tenth of the defendants were present, and others were tried in absentia. Senior Brotherhood leader Mohamed Badi and other jailed figures of the movement were among those on trial, but the interim government prevented them from joining the session, citing security reasons. Defense lawyers also boycotted the proceedings in protest at the mass death penalties the same court handed down to over 500 alleged Brotherhood supporters on Monday. The defendants were all accused of attacking a police station that led to the deaths of two officers, as well as other acts of violence.
Even the staunchest opponents of the Brotherhood have criticized yesterday's ruling. Members from the National Salvation Front representing the leftists have pleaded to the prosecutor general to appeal himself yesterday's verdict.
The trials have sparked outrage. Hundreds of student protesters at Minyan University were brutally attacked with tear gas as they gathered to denounce the controversial trials. More protests are planned to take place by the Antico Alliance against the verdicts on Wednesday.
Some have said that part of the one of the motives behind yesterday's shocking ruling was that it would be a tool of pressuring the Arab leaders who are gathering in Kuwait for the Arab summit to follow the path of Cairo and Riyadh into designating the Muslim Brotherhood a so-called terrorist organization.
The ruling has also sparked outrage among international organizations. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights has called the ruling astounding in recent history and criticized the fairness of the trial over widespread irregularities. Amnesty International, for its part, has denounced the verdict as a grotesque example of the shortcomings of Egypt's justice system. But the U.S. and its Western allies have remained silent on the ruling despite claims of being the guardians of human rights. Many observers, however, believe that such verdicts would only further complicate matters and prolong an exit from the political crisis in Egypt.
You're watching The Debate. Joining us now live from Detroit is editor of the Pan-African Newswire, Mr. Abba Yomi Azikiwe, and with us live from London, journalist and political analyst, Mr. Ali El-Kabbani. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us on The Debate. My first question to a guest in London, Mr. Kabbani. The UN has denounced the court decision, Mr. Kabbani, as a breach of international human rights law. Do you agree with those who say that Egypt's judicial system is not independent or credible?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Most certainly, the judiciary system in Egypt showed that it is corrupt, that it's politically oriented, that they are there to take orders from their military masters, and they are there to obey. And actually, this ruling, apart from the corruption and apart from the very poor political judgment, I think the mental abilities and the mental status of this judge should be examined, because there is no judge in the history of Egypt who ruled for capital punishment or death sentence for such a great number. Can't this idiot see that there is a difference even between these 500 people, not to give them the same sentence, and a country which give capital punishment and death sentence to political opponents is a bankrupt regime, and they are confused. And I think that will lead to a lot of instability and another uprising in Egypt, even bigger and more serious than the one of the 25th of January, because the military coup of the 3rd of July brought back Mubarak regime, and we see all the culprits of his gang are out of jail now, they are free, and the leaders of the revolution plus political opponents are all in jail, and now political opponents are killed either in the streets of Cairo and other cities of Egypt or in the courts of Egypt.
Right, we know that this decision has provoked a lot of reactions from the international community, from the EU and from the United States. I'll put this question to our guest in the US, Mr. Azikiwe. The Deputy US State Department spokeswoman made a comment. She said the decision defies logic, that Washington is deeply concerned and shocked. And she said it simply does not seem possible that a fair review of evidence and testimony consistent with international standards could have been accomplished with that number of defendants in a two-day trial. First of all, I'd like to focus first on the US position on this. Some would say the US is interfering in Egypt's affairs. Some would say it's actually being very passive when it comes to the human rights violations that are taking place. What do you think about the US role in Egypt?
Obviously, the United States is trying to guard its political position in regard to its long-term relations with Egypt. They have not come out strongly and condemned the coup d'etat that took place on July 3rd of last year. It was a horrendous event. It was not a continuation of the Egyptian revolution of 2011. It was clearly a deviation from the whole spirit of democratic debate, democratic discussion. It clearly reflects some of the worst aspects of the political culture that has been engendered by the Egyptian military over the last 3.5 decades. The United States has had a long-term relationship with the Egyptian military. They provide $1.3 billion annually to the Egyptian military. They claimed several months ago that they were suspending some aspects of assistance to the Egyptian military, but it's not clear exactly what aspects of that assistance has been suspended. I think the statement from the U.S. State Department is disingenuous. If the United States was really concerned about human rights in Egypt and about fostering democratic practice there and curtailing the role of the military, there are other measures that could be imposed that would speak directly to the crisis that exists right now inside the country.
Mr. Kabbani, I'd like to have your view on that as well, because some observers were saying that although we are hearing words of condemnation from the EU or from the US, they're not being backed by action towards, you know, pushing Egypt in terms of its democratic move forward, and that these countries are not interested in democracy in Egypt, but rather their own strategic interests. For instance, the pact that Egypt has with Israel, or the fact that it is home to the Suez Canal, an important shipping lane.
Exactly. This is a lip talk, and they really don't care about the Egyptian people, and they don't care about democracy, and they don't care about human rights in Egypt. Because if they do, they should show action, not words. And we all know that Egypt under Mubarak, and now after the coup d'etat of the 3rd of July under Sisi, is a client state to the Americans. And they are saying, we are paying the Egyptian army, as your guest in Washington said, $1.3 billion every year to take our dictates and to protect our interests in the area. And these, there are three main reasons why they are paying the Egyptian army this aid of $1.3 billion. First is to maintain and keep the peace treaty of with Israel, the Camp David Treaty. Second, to give priority for the American warship in their passage in the Suez Canal. Third, the Egyptian airspace is open to the American aeroplane fighters. So these are the main reasons they are paying Egypt this $1.3 billion directly to the army. It doesn't go even into the checker of the country or of the government. So to maintain this, so America want the army to control Egypt, but they hope that the Assisi can rule from behind a civilian puppets. But actually, the army and the military in Egypt, they want the seat in the presidential palace, and they don't want the